Okay, we're still trying to figure out one kamachomer. So far, it's taken us about 6 weeks. One kamachomer. So the Gemara is still trying to figure out why is it necessary for the Torah Kedoshim to tell us that if Isha is Mikneis Babia, anybody could have figured it out on their own. It's a kamachomer. Manachi Yavama, who's not Nikneis Bekesav, is Nikneis Babia. So a regular woman who's Nikneis Bekesav, Abba Shabosa, she should be Nikneis Babia. That was the kamachomer. So the Gemara had a pircha that kamachomer. Let's take a look back on Navdalim and Beis. The three lines at the bottom, Amar Vashi, that kavachom is not such a great kavachom. Mishum de'ikel le'meimar, me'ikar de'din apircha. The very kavachom itself is problematic. Me'hecha kamaisis le'biyavava. Your entire kavachom is predicated on the assumption that we're going to derive from yavama to isha. No. Mali yavama shekein zkuka v'yamedes. Tam mizu shein zkuka v'yamedes. The reason why yavama is nikneis b'biyah makes a lot of sense. Because she's Kuka Vyomenis, and that svara doesn't carry over to Isha. Therefore, once that distinction is made, then all bets are off. Lo Kavachama falls by the wayside, and therefore Tabla Ba'ala. Therefore, we need the Pasuk of Ba'ala. So we spent the whole week last week trying to focus in what those words mean. Mali Yavamishkets Kuka Vyomenis. What is it about Yavaba that lends her to having the possibility of Bia, and some of that svara doesn't carry over to regular Isha? So we saw last week that the Re developed the whole theory. That's Kukav Yomedes is basically a code phrase for the goal of Yibum in contrast to the goal of Kedusha. The goal of Yibum is outright to have children. There's no ands, ifs, and buts. It's all goal towards the Hakim Lachim Shem. Whereas Kedusha, it's also it's nice to have children. We're all for that. But the Kedusha stands on its own 2 feet. We even gave as an example that according to the Rambam, you become the mitzvah of Kedushin. No children, 95-year-old man, whereas a 92-year-old woman, that's the same mitzvah as Kedushin. So Kedushin is not per se, not the essence of the chalos of Kedushin is children-oriented, unlike Yibum. And therefore, since the goal of Yibum is children, it makes a lot of sense that Bia should be the mechanism to affect Yibum. So we spent a lot of time this week questioning this Re from Gemara's throughout Maseches Yevamos that didn't seem to bear out that theory, and we gave a different Biurim last week. But now we're going to give an entirely different shot in the Gemara. I don't remember, did we introduce Rabbi Mishazel last week, or we just stopped short of it? I don't remember anymore. Okay, so we'll pick it up from the new Pshat. So it's two lines from the bottom of the Tosfos, and Dalet Amud Beis. Rabbi Elazar Mishazna Piresh. Shekein Zukuka V'Yamedes, Shabiyazu Eina Ose Ela Gomeres Kedushe Rishon. Umishum Da'ashkichon Bia Gomeres, Lo no ma she tikne tchilas kinyon. Says Rabbi Elazar Mishazna, whole shekloli in this one line. If you think about it, Yibum is not the beginning of a chalos. Yibum is actually the Gemara, the Machmer Patish of a pre-existing chalos. What is the pre-existing chalos? That she was married already. She already had kedushin. To who? To the brother who died. So the kedushin rishon are in effect still around to some shape or form. We'll have to find to what that means. But in some shape or form, the kedushin rishon are there. And therefore, the goal of doing yibum is not to start off from scratch. It's simply to put the icing on the cake, put the final touches on the pre-existing chalos. Therefore, it makes a lot of sense that the fact that Bia can work to be Gomer, Kedusha Rishon, that makes sense. But that's a raya that Bia can start a chalos. You can get married with Bia, like Rechetesi. In the end, that is the case, because that's the pulse that's exerted across it. But you cannot derive that from a kavachomer from Yavama, because Yavama and the regular Isha part ways in such a fundamental manner that Yavama is Gemiras Kedusha Rishon, unlike Kedusha, which is a Tchilas Adavar Bechadosh. That is Rebbe Elazar Mishazna's Pshat in the Gemara.
It's not Zika, that's the...
I read the words, we read it together. Elazar Mishazna says, Shkein Zekukav Yomedes, Shabia zo eina osel gomeres kedusha rishon. The simple pshat, I know the Rachman will read like you are, but the simplest pshat in the words of Tosfos is that I want you to identify for me this woman is the Yavama Lashuk right now. Her husband died a couple of months ago. She's sitting around waiting for a Yimura Chalitza. So I'm going to ask you two questions. I'm going to ask you, is she a married woman right now? Is she married? And then number two, assuming the answer to that question is yes, who is she married to? So Rabbi Elazar Mishazna is saying two things, that she's married. That's exactly what the punchline of the distinction is. Unlike the regular woman who is a totally single girl, she's not married to anybody. So for her, the chalois is a tchilas kedushin, whereas here, this is a gemar hadover. So she is a married woman. I didn't say that she's an eshes ish with chedek. I didn't say it as mamzerus. I didn't say it. I didn't say any of that. Is she in the parsha of being married already to some degree, in some shape or form? The answer is yes. That's gomeris. Who is she married to? The person who died. The first husband. She is married to this person. That's what I state in the simple pshat in the reading of this tesis.
Might not it have been stronger to say, because the doesn't need kedushin, and whereas a regular kedushin doesn't need kedushin.
Well, we don't know about that. We know that that bia works, and remember we spoke about last week that according to some, the bia may actually be a form of kedushin, because bia is a form of kedushin. So it's hard to make a statement outright that what happens at a time of yibum is not an act of isha, not an act of kedushin. So this Rabbi Mishazna is loaded. Again, both of these nakudas are loaded. To call a married is a chiddush. To call a married to the dead brother is a chiddush. I got the chiddush. So let's take a look at the Taisa Rosh. I sent it in the Maim Kamos. So Taisa Rosh is also struggling. The Taisa's calling Taisa Rosh also struggling with what in the world the Gemara means when it says that Zekuka v'yomedes. So let's take a look. It's in the second column in the Taisa Rosh, the very top. In the parentheses, she came to cook a madness. Could it be also the asira lazer b'lo chalitza? Because after all, she is asura without a chalitza. If it came the isle liyavam kinyan koldu, sounds like Aaron a little bit, right? Since the yavam has some degree of a kinyan in her, notice the very he is walking a tightrope. Kinyan koldu, he does not say she's mamish married to the yavam. She's not. But there's a kinyan koldu, there is something there. Mekami bia, and that kinyan koldu exists before bia. Dinu, she taken by bia. And therefore it makes sense that bia should be the gemar hadover. So this pshat is the Taz Rosh quotes the name of the Ramah. So the Ramah, the author of this pshat, it's similar to what appears in the Taisus and us, but not identical. It's similar in that it's both Rishonim are treating her as a married woman, but they are parting ways as to who exactly is this lucky husband right now. So according to Tosfos Pshat Bayos, it appears the husband is the person who's no longer alive. According to the Ramah, she is married based on Zika, whatever in the world that means. She's married to the Yavam, at least in some shape or form. I'd count the two biurim, almost like two nuances within the basic Pshat of Rabbi Mishazna. It's interesting because the two pshatim probably all boil down to taich in one word, one phrase, really, in Chumash. If you were writing an English translation of the following pasuk, how would you translate it? Lo siyeh eishes hameis. The Torah declares the Yavama is the eishes hameis. So I want an absolute, precise definition and translation of eishes hameis. So according to the Tosfos by us, the simple pshat is, she is the wife in the present tense of the mace. According to the Ramah, she was the wife of the mace, she who happens now to be the wife of the live brothers. So again, whether you think past tense or present tense is important or not, I defer to Kriyas HaMegillah, to the Baz and the Ba'az, it can make all the difference in the world. So it's a fundamental difference as to what is the Torah addressing. Who is this? Who is she the Aishas of? But Rabbi Sai, notwithstanding these two approaches in the Taisus and the Taisa Rosh, there is no question that the Re did not go down either of these two pshatim. The Re worked very, very hard last week to try to give you a different pshat. There's Omid Labiya, Mitzvah, have children, etc. The whole 9 yards of last week's year. Clearly the Re could have gone down either one of these two pshatim and chose not to. Why did the Re not go down one of these two pshatim? So it appears that there's a fundamental machlokes taking place. It's almost like a duel, like a two-step machlokes taking place here in the Rishonim. The Rabbi Elazar Mishazna and the Ramah are agreeing b'ikaron that a Yavama L'shuch is an Issa Ishus. That she's basically a married woman. We can't just figure out exactly who her husband is. But we know that she's married to somebody. The Re turns around and says, no, she's not. She's actually not married to anybody. She's married to the dead brother. So that doesn't sit well. I remember once I was in Tzfat And they used to go with, you know, that's why I call. So they used to ask me once in a while if I would run like some of the tours and some of the halachic angles of Tzvat. So there was like different tours. There was the more Kabbalistic tour, then there was a little bit more Misnagdish Lipish. That was usually, you could probably guess who ran which one. So you know, I would go in Tzvat and talk about the Machlokes, about the Smicha controversy, and I talk about Peir Shvius and Goyim, and I talk about why the Erev Chatzeres is not really shul, is in the shul, and all the different things, burning halachic issues that took place in the city of Tzvat. So I remember once I was joining, linked up to one of the other tours for a minute. So the guy's telling me, Aisalach, with somebody received Kedushin, then she dies, and she sticks her finger out of the grave, and she's sewing the ring, and she's Mekudesh. So, out of the Frankenstein movies, some kind of crazy story about. So I kept on thinking about the Tosis. I said, "There's no Ishus for a mace." I said, "Tosis, there's no Ishus for a mace. Not so simple. Maybe there is Ishus for a mace." The guy, the Chlal, wasn't interested in the Tosis. That I can tell you for sure. Come back to that story. So, what is the nature of the Yisur Yivam Lashuk? That's the fundamental question. The Torah says, "Well, Siyesh Tavis Chutzli Zar." So Yesh Lachbar. Fundamental question. Is this Isser of Yavam Lashuk an Ishus type of an Isser? This is belongs in the, under the Aseret HaDibros heading of Lo Sinuf. This is a form of, if she goes in and marries somebody else, does not somebody else, that's a form of Lo Sinuf. Now again, it's not the real Lo Sinuf. I know, I got it. It's only Malchus. It's not Chayev Misa. There's no Kares. There's no Misa. I know all that. But Be'ikaron, it's a marriage type of Isser. It's a subcategory of Ishus. We find other places where you can have issues that's not an absolute complete issue. We have Shimcha Rufa we spoke about. I mean, there are cases in the Torah where you can have a type of an Ishus Ish that's not an absolute, full-fledged, full-blown Ishus Ish. So is that what an Yavam Lashuk really is? She's basically fundamentally an Ishus Ish type of halacha. Or Bechlal, who is she married to? One husband's dead and the other, quote-unquote, husband, he hasn't shown up yet. The guy's in Australia. So who is Mekadosh? What kind of Kedusha is that? So which other Rishon will say, Isha Hiknu Lom in a Shemayim, that's a phrase the Gemara sometimes uses. So there seems to be a fundamental, machlokes, a really fundamental tension as to what is the very essence of Yavam Lashuk. Is Yavam Lashuk fundamentally an Isra of Ishus? Or is it fundamentally an Isra B'Frei Atzvoi? It's not really an Ishus thing. It's a new Isra. It's like where Shad is. It's like eating Chazer. It's an Isra of the Torah. It's not every Isra of the Torah is rooted in Ishus Ish. Forget, not every Isra B is rooted in Ishus. A Grush L'Koyin is not an Ishus. Not marrying an Amahuni is not nothing to do with the issues. They're Isur Rabia, they're not nothing to do with Isur Ishus. So what is the nature of this Isur? And Imtum to 11, it's an Isur Ishus, then you have the further breakdown of the Sharm. So whose Ishus is it? Is she an Ishus Ishus, the first guy or the second guy? See, really three different possibilities. So we're not even going to be, take a shot even at the Ramah versus the Rabbalos B'Shasna. I want to focus on the fundamental machlokes of the Re didn't go down this route. The Re clearly was learning it's nothing to do with Isra Ishus Ish, and the other days and places were assuming it is some kind of Ishus Ish. So I wonder, what is it? What do we think the din should be? Do we have any rayas? Whether the Isra of Yavam Lashuk is fundamentally an Ishus Ish type of halacha, albeit watered down, not Nisa, not Kares, or is it nothing to do at all with Ishus Ish? What do we think the din should be? Do we have any rayas from the Gemara? So there is a Gemara in Yavamas that we spoke about actually last week. We'll go back to that Gemara again. It's a Gemara at the very, very bottom of Tzadi Beis Ibn Aleph. The last three words on the bottom. Tzadi Beis Ibn Aleph, Amar Yehuda, and on to the top. Amar Yehuda Marav, Minayin Shein Kiddushin Tosi V'Yavama. How do you know that there's no Tfisa's Kedushin for Yavam Lashuk? So Yavam Lashuk is supposed to get Yimah Chalitza. She goes in and accepts Kedushin from somebody else. How do you know that that doesn't work? Now the starting point is it should have worked because it's only Chayv Lavle. The Mechtesa should have worked. So Rav says it's a posuk. It's a gzer sarkosuv. That lo yeba havaya, since the Torah presents, doesn't say lo yovale. The Torah says lo siya, lo shen havaya, lo shen kedushin. This teaches us not only is she not allowed to marry somebody else, but if she tries to do so, it's not going to be taifis. And Shmuel ben Yosef tzricha get mesafkel l'Shmuel hay lo siya ishes ameis in a lava diyasa lo tasbe kedushin diyasa. Shmuel wasn't sure that this is right, and then the Gemara concludes with Taka also not sure. Halacha ma'aseh we follow Shmuel, we're not sure. It's very possible Rav may be right. But it's possible he's not right, and therefore, misafik, we're going to insist on a get. So how do we understand this sheet of Rav? Rav held this way with Torah's Vada, and Shmuel conceded that it may be true. How do we understand this phenomenon that ain't potentially ain't kedushin tovsim biyavamo? That may very well be the reality. According to Rav, that is the reality. According to Shmuel, at least that's the suffix, the reality. Ain't kedushin tovsim biyavamo. Why should that be so? What kind of halacha is that? Some what halacha? Strange halacha is that? We know that kedushin atovsin on Chayv Elavin, Rabbi Akiva held not the way we pass in kedushin atovsin by Ammonius and by Mamzerus, by Grush Lakut. We pass in this kedushin atovsin by Chayv Elavin. So Manishtana, this Chayv Elavin from all other Chayv Elavin. So one can understand the Manishtana one of two ways. Either one can understand that what the Torah is telling me, again, according to Rav, it's for sure telling me, according to Shmuel, we suspect they may be telling us this. What the Halacha is telling us is that there is a fundamental difference between the Issur of Yivam L'Shok and the Issur of marrying Mamzeres. There's a fundamental difference between Yivam L'Shok and the Issur of Koy, marrying a Grusha. A Yivam L'Shok is an Eishes Ish. She's a very, very watered down Eishes Ish. True, there's no Chiyav Misa, there's no Chiyav Kores, I got all that. But Be'ikaron, Ein Kedushin Tovsin, just like an Eishes Ish is Ein Kedushin Tovsin. Is that the Pshat? If that would be true, then it would be a very, very fascinating type of an Eishes Ish. It's an Eishes Ish that doesn't really belong in Pashas Achrimos and Kedoshim, because Achrimos Kedoshim, the Arayas, the regular limb of Arayas of Eishes Ish, those are always trigger covers in Misa. So it would be a very, very watered down, conceptual type of an Eishes Ish, but Afal Bichein, it would be enough of an Eishes Ish to trigger an Itfisas Kedoshim. How do we understand that? Like, how does that make sense to us, that kind of a halacha? Like, make up your mind. If she's an Eishes Ish, then Yechayev Misa for her, which you're clearly not. If she's not an Eishes Ish, then why Ein Kedushin Tovsin? How does the halacha present us this kind of this mixture a little bit, this little bit of a walking on this tightrope as to what kind of Eishes Ish this is? So the question is, what does that mean exactly? Well, what is this Kinyan Kol Du? That's to try to define what this Kinyan Kol Du is. And why does this Kinyan Kol Du, in a sense, impact on Kedushin? It creates the model of Ein Kedushin Tovsin. So this may be a throwback to something we spoke about way, way back. I mean, one of the very first Urim about how do you understand the name of Aperik, Isha Niknes? I mean, what do the words mean? That an Eishes Ish is Niknes to her husband. So we all know Ein Kedushin Tovsin, the Eishes Ish. That's like 1,000 Gemaras throughout Shas. There's no Kedushin Tovsin. But the question is conceptually, why not? So the Pnei Yeshua had his famous beer. But it's back at the beginning of the year. Pnei Yeshua says, I'll tell you very simply what Ein Kedushin Tovsin Be'eishes Ish. Do you own a car? If you own a car, you can sell the car. If you sold the car to Reuben, you can't sell it to Shimon anymore. It's not yours anymore. Finished. It's the pure Cheshev Ish. If you have ABCs and Bailos, what you don't own, you can't sell. So says the Pnei Yeshua, a woman is born, so the father for the first 12 and a half years has the Chus Mabun to be Mekadishar. When the father's Chus Mabun ends at the age of 12 and a half, she takes her own Bailos on herself. She has that Chus Mabun to be Mekabal Kedushin. The minute that she transfers that over to somebody else, she sold the car. You sold the car to Reuben, you can't sell the car to Shimon. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, says the Bnei Yeshua. Comes out of the Bluim and says, that's the reason why. Because Hilchas Mekach HaMemker dictates that you can't sell it. That's what creates Mamzeir, says the Abner Bluim. No, come on. Says the Abner Bluim, you want to know why an Eishes has no Kedushin? Because she's an Erva, like any other Erva. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, the third path of Kedushin. Ain't Kedushin tells the Berayas. And Manish not an Eishes Ish, from any other Erva. So it's just plain, simple hukas arayas. Nothing to do with mamonis and maislach and selling cars. Remember, we had a nafkamina. The chapa nafkamina between the Pnei Yeshua and the Abner Miluim. What if you have a woman who has sold herself already by accepting kedusha from somebody, but has not created the status of being an erva quite yet? What would you say about such a woman? It's a very, very mundane thing. She's accepted Kedushin, so she's an Eishes Ish, so she sold off her rights. Nobody in Mamon's rights anymore. But Lemaisa, she's not an Erva yet. I need a case. You're not saying, well, that's either yes or no. So, Tana, if her father marries a Rav, she's married to Rice, and the mother marries a Rav, she's going to marry the Rabbanan. Tonight, either tonight's fulfilled or not fulfilled. I need a woman.
It's going to be Adla Ashtoshmiyot. So she's already sold her.
No, but the, no, but the once the if you hold up and actually don't be once the tray is fulfilled, once this man comes in retroactively, she was already. Oh, you mean Rabbi Yochanan's funny thing at the end of the third rep of Kedushin about the steps, about the person who I'm a Kaddish from now to 30, then the other one's moving from now to 29, the other one's now to 28. That's like a bizarre kind of Kedushin. Maybe you're right. According to Rabbi Yochanan, maybe you're right. There is such a Gemara like that. But I have something easier than that. I need a woman who has accepted Kedushin, but the result of her accepting Kedushin has not quite completed the job. I just gave it away. Hasn't created the status of being an Erev yet. Proof positive. You're not Chamisa Aleha.
Fire.
You might as well do Rabbana. I mean, right. Shivcha Charufa. You have a Chetzi Shivcha, a Chetzi Maschorin, who's Mekabel Kedushin from somebody. What happens to her? So what does the Torah say? You're not allowed to be with her. She's not allowed to go be Mizanah with somebody else. But if somebody is Mizanah with her, what happens to them? Lo Yumsu, Kilochu Pasha. Because she's not fully Jewish yet. She doesn't have a full-fledged Din of Bas Yisrael. Therefore, are Kedushin Tosin? Kind of. They're Tofes vis-a-vis the Mechayiv with a Korban Hashem. Are they Tosin to tell me that she's Chayiv Misa Abola? No. Lo Yumsu Kilochu Pasha. So, what if you have this Shivcha Charufa? She's a real businesswoman. She accepts Kedushin from one person, and then she accepts Kedushin from another guy. Would we say it's the second Kedushin of Tayfet? She has a woman who's married to two men. Could she potentially have a Tvis Kedushin from a second guy? The Chara, that should be enough Kabita between the Bnei Yeshua and the Avnei Milur. According to Bnei Yeshua, she gave up her Zchuyos already. Whatever Zchuyos she had, she transferred to Reuben already. So Shimon's Kedushin is like selling the car. It's not going to work.
Bnei Yeshua quotes her as the potential case of
right, it's part of this, right? It's part of this. The Pesach was in that sugin getting about the Beis Achim, correct? Right. That's right. So according to Avnei Miluim, lo yimsuki lo chupasha. There's no Misa. She's not an Erva. So the game is over. So if she's not an Erva, so then Kedusha Mechara will still be Taifsin. Strange potential nafkamina. So why am I giving you this case? That's almost like the model of Yavam Lushuk. If you think about it, if you hold that Yavam Lushuk is married, but I'm going to misquote a pasuk about Lo Yumsu Kilo Nesua. Lo Yumsu Yirachem Misafar. So to say she's an Arab, that's ridiculous. You can't say with a straight face. When the Baal Kari reads Pasach Yemos and Yom Kippur, and he says, you know, Velashus Amiskot, that can't be talking about. This is not Shaykh. That's not talking about Yavam Lushuk, because Kichol Nefash Oisus Vichrusu doesn't apply to her. So she's not an Arab. She's not in the Rambam's list of Arayas. On the other hand, she lost the dinim of niskoiches. How did she lose it? Well, depending on whether you ask Rav Bishas or the Ramah. Either she lost it because she accepted kedushin from her husband who now died, and that dinim of niskoiches has not really disappeared. That's what Lasias Erbeis means. She's still zekuk of yomedes to the first husband. Or you say ishek lo b'neshemayim, that the Rabban Shalom has in effect taken away her koiches to accept kedushin. So this model of Rav and Yisufik Shmuel of having a woman who can't have kedushin and yet it's not quite a full-fledged error, but it's not necessarily such a foreign concept. In the world of the Bnei Yeshua, that model could make sense. So doesn't this Gemara, at least these Amorim, point in a direction that some kind of Ishus type of halacha? So one can say, no, this Gemara doesn't prove anything. It could be this exists across the Yalma. It could be that the reason why the Gemara needs a pasuk is dafka because she's not an Ishus Ish. It's like a Gush L'Kayim, it's like a Mamzer, it's like an Amayim, it's not an Ishus Ish. This pasuk, that Rav saw as a vada in kedushin tavsin, Shmuel saw as a sofik in kedushin tavsin, does not give us any grandiose vision about what Yavam Lushuk is or is not. It's simply a quirk in Uchus Tvisus Kedushin. But by the way, there's no Tvisus Kedushin here. Don't ask any kashas. Why? There's a fascinating potential nafkamid ladina, whether it is kedushin or no kedushin. Let's say Yavam Lushuk goes ahead, she violates the deed, she goes ahead and accepts Kedushin from somebody else. According to Rav, that's a meaningless action. She's the same as she was before. But according to Shmuel, we paskin, but you say that you could get, we suffic the rice, she needs again. So I'm going to ask you a funny question. You have Rachel is the Yavam Lushuk. She goes ahead and accepts Kedushin from Reuven. So she may up in deed. Possibly she's married now to Reuven. And she starts to get Chalitza. No question, she's Chalitza. Who could see my question coming? Can she do chalitza in the state that she's in now?
She didn't get first.
What she didn't get first? Let her do chalitza, and then she'll stay with her new husband. What does she have to get divorced for? So that's a very Yavamistic question. Because if you think about it, at that moment in time, is she a what? Is she an Ol Yibum? She can't do Yibum now, why? She has suffocation ish. So she's Asur Yibum. So do we apply the principle of culture? In Ol Yibum, Ol Chalitza, do we say, wait a second, this is a little strange application of this. So this was a major, major Machlek Zacharayim. This is like a major, it's a deal can be shown in different opinions, but a major Machlek is the place of Dolei Poskim Halacha. When you have a situation of a woman who, by mistake, she went ahead and didn't know she went accepting the Kiddush from somebody else, now 5 years later, we're coming to do a Chalitza, do we insist that she gets divorced before we do the Chalitza, or she get a Chalitza in the state of marriage? So I think this is probably early, probably before your time. The Chalitza in YU in the 80s were before your time. So there was a Chalitza in YU in, I remember what year it was, the year I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so it was 86, 1986. There was a Chalitza in YU, it was a Madna Chalitza. It was a woman who was an older woman, she was in her 70s or so, and her husband had died like 40 years before. And she had remarried 35 years before to somebody else, never had a Chalitza. I don't know whether she wasn't so firm, she didn't know, whatever it was. I don't know. This Gabu Advarim somehow, I don't know whether she knew all along she should have gotten married or she didn't know. She started to have dreams that the first husband was coming to her and haunting her, and she got to go to the rabbi. It's like from Tzvat. This Gabu Advarim ended up by Rav Melech Schechter, Rav Schechter's father. He was the Rosh Masad Ben Kitten and Rosh all the Evan Ezra stuff in our world for quite some time. So somehow this woman ended up in his base then. And there was a brother who was still alive. The brother was 80 years old already. She came, she wanted to get a chalitza. She was married. So go tell her she has to get a get. It wasn't going to fly too well. I don't even know if she really had kedushin with this new, I don't know. She'd been married for 40 years. So I remember it was a very, very modern thing. The husband, I mean, depending on Rav Shmuel, whether you think it was a husband or not, brought her to the chalitza. The chalitza was upstairs in room 501 in First Torah, the big room they used to give the high school MTA regents, you know, the big room. So that was the Gerber Shalir. The Poskim say he's supposed to do it in the high point of the city. So the Belfort wasn't available, so they gave us the top floor of First Hall. And the husband came in to bring her into the building, to bring her. So they said, she's married for 40 years to this husband. So I remember they asked the husband to please wait downstairs. So Kacha, I remember the husband waited downstairs. She's 70 years old later, whatever she was, 75, 80, whatever she was. She came upstairs and she did a chalitza. And sure, I remember the old brother, I remember the woman. And the biggest problem that happened in the chalitza was they asked, remember Melech Shechter, the other Dayanim asked, it shows you how long ago it was, if I'm not mistaken. I think Rabbi Willig was not even one of the regular Dayanim. I think he was one of the two, you know, the side. I remember anymore. I don't think he was even one of the three. I remember who the other Dayanim was. He wasn't even like the senior Dayanim at that time. So I remember they asked the woman before, and they asked the Yom and the Yom beforehand, do they want to do the Seder Chalitza in English, or they want to do it in Yiddish? Because, you know, in Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, it's printed up in Hebrew, all the questions and all the, everything you do and every step along the way. So it's printed up to Seder Chalitza. Seder again, the same thing. So there's one that was printed up in Yiddish that used to use in Europe. And then the RCA printed up another one 50 years ago in English, like the Seder again, like today. So the couple was an older couple. So they said they're more comfortable in Yiddish, as they said. So the problem was they couldn't find the Yiddish. This is before the days of now. Just go online and get the Yiddish version. So I remember Melech Shechter was sitting there with the English version, and every line he was translating from the English to the Yiddish. So he was asking him questions in Yiddish. And poor Tamir and the Yeshiva, they had no idea what was going on. Most of Tamir, I was taking Yiddish that year in YU. So I knew a little bit what was going on. Most of the guys had no idea what was going on. So this was going back and forth. So the problem was, because they were reading from the English and translating to Yiddish, Rav Shechter's eyes missed the line. He skipped the line. And the line was that there's a din. The Gemara says that you have to be makh the shoe to the yavid. So lechetchil is not makh b'di yavid. Lechetchil has to be according to some to shav lechetchil. The raisim and lechotzen all b'di yavid. It's okay if it doesn't belong to. But the Gemara says beferish you have to do it lechetchil. So the part of the seder chalitz is you pick up the shoe. He picks up the shoe and sure he's kind of the shoe. So they pushed it. He missed in the middle of the whole balagan. He missed that line. And they already started to put the shoe on his foot. And if you remember, you saw a few chalitzas. We saw Nebuchadnezzar's chalitzas together that day. That it takes 20 minutes to tie the shoe on, and the shoe was tied on. And I remember I guess in the Kol Mitzvah of the Tamid Ma'ir Shabbat Dayanim. I was sitting in the back. I was learning with Danny Mann that year. Now Danny Mann is a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Mann. But we were learning Yavamis that year. The two of us were learning Mikias Yavamis. So I remember I turned to Danny in the middle of the chalitz and I said to him, I forgot to be mapped in a shoe. I said, we were 20 years old. And like, so I remember I said to him, but the evidence is good anyway. I'm not opening your mouth. You know, and all of a sudden, there was like a hush for the Dayanim. And one of the other Dayanim came alive. All of a sudden, I saw a little huddle. And they realized that they forgot to be a... It's like they didn't view the rights of the shoe, but there was a month there was a chalitz take place in Prague. And one of the younger Dayanim, you know, started to chep the Rebbe Yehuda about the follows in Chumrah. And the Rebbe Yehuda writes this in the shul. He wrote, told the Dayan, he says, shh, be quiet. He said to him, he said, the last time we did a chalitz in Prague, you weren't born. He said, so I'm telling you, 20, 50 years ago, we did it last time. This is how we did it. So when so here also, I said, yeah, how often did Dayanim say the chalitz? So how often is that? So I remember there was a huddle of Dayanim, and then Rebbe Elchat came with an ingenious plan. To undo the shoes in another 20 minutes. So I remember he said to the Yavam, he said to him, raise your foot more than 3 tefachim off the ground. They did a hakbah. You can do a hakbah with your foot. Do a hakbah on the shoe with picking up your foot 3 tefachim off the ground. I almost fell over and enjoyed it. That was the kinyan on the shoe. Baruch Hashem, all's well that ends well. Anyway, back to our, back to that stuff. I forgot why I even, what name I forgot.
She was married.
Oh yeah, she was married. Yeah, she was married. So the mice, they did a chalitz, she was married. No one is yet. I don't think they were insisting on a get. So they relied on the poskim that say that, first of all, according to Hefta Amaran, the Chedusha doesn't have it anyway, but even according to those who say it's Taifes, there are Rishonim Befeir, which say the chalitz is good, even without getting a get. But it's the Shal and Rishonim. So the mice, they were makel, they did a chalitz for this woman. Anyway, to save her from future Isurim, and the chalitz is from the Neshama, it's a tremendous aliyah for the Neshama something, so they did the chalitz anyway. Anyway, back to the story. Yeah, so the din is that, according to many opinions, this couple was not allowed to remain married. That's a kenas the rabbanim because they violated Yibam L'shuk. The mice said, no, they weren't asking shalos about it. 2 days in Tosfos about Yibam L'shuk. 2 days was where the kids from Zeirim with the rabbanim. No one was asking shalos. This woman wanted one thing. She didn't want to have bedrooms anymore. That was her goal. Anyway, whatever the story was. So back to that story. So we have this din staring at us that it's possible, according to some, there's no condition of Yibam L'shuk. And we think, according to some, this would be an indication that it's basically an issue. And now we're backpedaling. Maybe not. Maybe this indicates nothing. Any other potential nafkaminas? Any other things that would indicate one way or the other when it's an issue? So the Gemara has it a few places of Yavamas. It's almost like every 30 lines, every 30 pages, the same issue comes up. It happens to show up on this page also, in Daf Tzadi Beis and Mabeis. It's at the middle of the Tzadi Beis and Mabeis. The first one we learn is Nisuin. The Gemara says the Amr of Amnur at the end of the line. Shemer Yavam Shazin Sasur Yavama. If Shemer Yavam is Mizana, so now she becomes a Sura to Yavam. Let's say she would now want to do Yibam. She didn't do anything appropriate. She was Mizana with somebody else for a few times. Now she wants to come back and do Yibam. Rav says she can't do it anymore. Why can't you do that? What's that based on? So Rav Amnur clearly is viewing her as an Ashes Shazinsa. The same way that a real Shazin says a surah to the Baal, that's like that from Saita, Vinitma, etc. So too, Ishmael Yavam is like a shtickle, Shazin. So in Rav Amnuna's mindset, it seems pretty clear that there's an Ishus type of halacha, whether it's his Ishus or his. It sounds like it's closer to being she's married to the Yavam because she's becoming a surah to the Yavam. The Yavam is the Baal in a sense. So it sounds like Rav Amnuna is very, very much like in sync with the Rav Loz Mishasna. The only problem is we're not sure we pass like Rav Nuna. So there's a Gemara that says in one place in Sota that we don't really follow Rav Nuna, and then the other Rishonim say, well, this machlokes asugyas, but we do follow. So it's not clear in Rishonim whether even accept Rav Nuna altogether. So lav dafka, we want to build a whole case based on Rav Nuna's statement. So we have two dinim that both appear at Ibeiz and Yivamis. One about Tfis Kedushin, one about the Issa Labaila, the Issa Yivama. Again, we're not sure what the facts are. These are definitely Ishus oriented halachas, but we can't quite pin down what the facts are. It's hard for us to make an absolute case. So my nafkamina, at the end of the day, whether Kedushin is tough or not, whether she's a Suli or Tachlis, we have a Chakir in Rishonim. Is it a Din Ishus or not? My nafkamina, at the end of the day, my nafkamina. So the Chora, there should be a nafkamina as follows. But we have a situation where we have a Yavama Lashuk, and there's some claim that's being put forth, there's some reason for us to believe that she's no longer a Yavama Lashuk. How could that happen, that she's not a Yavama Lashuk? Well, the brother dies. What would we say about that? Would we look at some kind of Shabbat? We don't have absolute clear-cut proof yet that the brother died. Would we look at that through the eyes of that needs a standard of like a Dov Sheva Erva kind of a standard? We know that the standards to be Matar and Eishas Ish are very, very high in theory and then very, very low in Lamaisa. Is it a Dov Sheva Erva? Or do I say, what's a Dov Sheva Erva? There's like passing a shadow whether the meat is kosher or not. What does that have to do with Dov Sheva Erva? So there is a Gemara in this parak, the same parak of Isha Rabbah, a little bit later. On Sadi Gimel Mabez, I'm sorry, just a drop later, not too much further. On Sadi Gimel Mabez. What is the following, Shaila? On the very bottom of Sadi Gimel Mabez. You might want to know, if an Eid Echad comes and says that the Yavam died, will that be sufficient to permit her to... There's only one brother, so if the Yavam's dead, she's free. Would an Eid Echad be sufficient? Now this, of course, smacks of, well, is an Eid Echad believed to say the husband died? So the answer is yes. But we're not quite sure why that's so. So let's pick it up from Tzad Gimel Beis, little on to the bottom. My time of Eid Echad, why is an Eid Echad ultimately believed to say the husband died? You know, Mishnah is Beferish, and Eid Echad is believed to say husband died. Why is that? Mishum de milsa David l'gluya l'bishaker, is he ultimately believed because it's something that the Eid will obviously can be proven to be a liar. A guy walks at the Beis and says Reuben died, and then Reuben walks in 10 minutes later, so you have one of two conclusions. Either there was t'chisa meisim, or the Eid was a liar. So the odds are the Eid was a liar. That's called the milsa David l'gluya. So a person is most probably not going to lie on a milsa David l'gluya. Is that the reason why? That we're basically believing the aid, even though he's only an echad, but he has that smart Muslim belief. If that's the case, hachanami l'mishaker. So too, when an echad walks in and says the yavam died, so it's also Muslim belief. Well, don't know. Maybe the reason why we believe the aid echad is not so much we believe the aid. Time of the aid echad, we should be daiko minsuba, because the woman is going to do her due diligence. She knows she's been married 50 years. She loves her husband. Now the Erecha comes and says that the husband dies. She's not going to go run in a second to go. Yeah, okay, great. The Eid's on the tooth. Let's try. She's going to ask the Eid. She's going to look into it. She's going to try to investigate. She's going to try to get to the bottom of it. So we can rely almost like on a rove that she's probably going to do her daikonish daikominsuba before she's going to go ahead and remarry. The halo daikominsuba. If that's the reason that we're not so much relying on the Eid, we're relying more on the woman. So we are very weary and to rely on the Yavam. You know why? The Mesna Huta Sanyale. She may not like this Yavam. So if she has a little bit of a motivated self-interest not to do such an research. So the Gemara is not sure. It was back and forth, back a whole sugya. Ultimately, why are we relying on the Kula for an Echa by Baal? And this Shail is hinging upon that stuff. So let's stop for a second. Why do you need any reason? Why do you need these razzle-dazzle reasons of Isha Dekaminsa Mosla Begluye? I'll give you a simple reason why an Echad is believed. And remember the Gittin Dabbeis?
It's not
Dabbeis there. Eid Echad Dabbeis. I walk into a store and the Mashkiah tells me this chicken's kosher. I need to eat it. Eid Echad Dabbeis. Why does the Gemara say that? The Gemara is working with the assumption, of course you need to aid them unless you have some kind of a very, very strange reason that's going to override that requirement. So the same way that we start looking at Eish HaZish Shaila, well, of course you need to aid them unless you have some kind of a reason, i.e. one of these possible reasons. Isn't the fact that the Gemara is starting point is that you need to aid them unless we could figure out a way to knage to get out of the requirement to aid them? Zamin, you see from here, Raya, this is Dov Shemierva. This is the real, this is Eish HaZish, this is the real McCoy. This is not just whether the meat is kosher. So others say, not so simple. La'olam yivam alishok is plain Yisurim. Eidech nebi Yisurim? Not so simple. The Gemara is a suffix. In the same parak, Nishirabah, is an Eidech nebi Yisurim against the Cheskes Yisur. If the status quo was also, it's not be able to change it. Unclear. An unresolved question. The Gemara, unresolved in the Rishonim. So others at Doich say, this Gemara doesn't mean anything. This Gemara is just saying the starting point would have been you need to aid them. Why? Either because it's like an Eish HaZish, or if you don't want to go down the Eish HaZish route, then the starting point would have been because of Cheskes Yisur. So at the end of the day, everybody say, we have three Gemaras that seem to impact our Shaila. We have three Pshatim in the Rishonim, how to read Pshat our Gemara. We have three different Gemaras spread out the course of a span of 2-3 blot of a Sechad Yavamas. The sugya about conditioned Dyson, the sugya about whether she's a Surah Liyavama, the sugya about whether you need to wait him or not, and we still don't have any clarity whatsoever. We are still not sure what is the nature of the Isra of Yavama Lashur. So, stay tuned, see what happens next week. Maybe we'll put a little bit of final touch on that. Maybe we'll even move on to the next sugya. We'll see. I don't know. That part I can't assure you. Okay, we'll stop here.